Good afternoon. Today is Friday, February the 17th, 48th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is economic developer, planner, partner at SHN, and a guy who likes blue shirts, Arnie Hirschgood.
Brian, you got my color down, man. You know I'm a blue guy.
Oh, this afternoon we'll follow up a little bit. There was an official press release about the Willis Bypass moving ahead, so we'll talk about, okay, great, what does that one mean? And also we'll spend a little bit of time with the roads, the highways that have been moving lately in the area. Some of the things that go on from the private sector perspective. We heard earlier this week from Cindy at Caltrans about the Broadway corridor. We'll talk from Arnie's perspective some of the other challenges that are out there and trying to take care of traffic flow or addressing traffic flow or curtailing traffic flow or making it so we're not so aggravated when we drive.
Improving, yeah.
Improving, that's the word. Okay. Traffic improvement when we come back.
We call it enhancement.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time is 4:16. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mr. Hirschgood. But before we do our quote this afternoon, let's find one. There's one. Dwight David Eisenhower. This one's kind of hackneyed, but okay. Peace and justice are two sides of the same coin.
Profound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boring.
Give us something more lively than that, yeah.
Yeah, there's got to be. I like the Kennedy quote. Okay. Never let us negotiate out of fear, but let us never fear to negotiate.
Right. That's a great one. That's a good one.
Okay.
That's a classic.
So, got that one all knocked out now. Time to move on to the show.
Well, it's President's Month. It's good you quoted one of the presidents or two there.
That's right. President's Week. Almost.
Yeah, next on Monday.
Monday. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, it's bypass. Finally.
Yes.
So what do we expect?
Well, Brian, long way to get the final permits for it. The last permits were issued within the last few months, and you know we had a delay in getting those, the Caltrans, that is. But all systems go. Now, of course, I believe the design is pretty well put together. The environmental process is, you know, the environmental document was done with whatever measures that have to be adopted for mitigation. So now it's a matter of getting ready to bid. Now, that's a concern, though, because the money for this project has been earmarked over the last 8 to 10 years. That's 10 years ago.
Oh, 10-year-ago money.
Yeah, 10-year-ago money.
Can you, when you go through something like that, say, okay, folks, here's the estimated, here's the budget?
No. This is.
Or these are open-ended, and people just kind of throw the money or throw the bids against the wall. And either it comes in or they come in too high and you walk away from them and resubmit.
I don't know how they're going to approach this, but ultimately the scenario is, you know, the region, both Mendocino and Humboldt County and Del Norte, made this a regional top priority project, and that's why it got the major funding back in the 10 years ago. However, that is a state transportation approved funding allocation, but you know it's been sitting in the bank, presumably not earning much interest, probably like everyone else for the last period of years. However, the cost escalation on a project like this over that period of time is pretty significant. So now we got to face what's the bid going to come in at to do this.
So
in today's dollars,
let's presume that there'll be a discrepancy.
There'll be a huge discrepancy.
Then what?
Caltrans will have to see if they can come up with some additional supplemental appropriation from somewhere, or somebody's going to have to. Otherwise, I don't know how they're going to proceed. You can't go to bid. You can't award a bid, certainly, without the funds in hand. Hopefully, they've been talking in the interim while they've been garnering the permits and such to legislative reps and to Sacramento people and people like that, because it's a state appropriation, or maybe a federal appropriation, even if they can get that for it.
So if they've been talking, have our assembly and senator at the state been listening? They seem to miss on the school bus thing pretty big time. Do you think they're paying attention to this one?
Well, they will be. Somebody's going to be knocking on their door, I have a feeling, because it's pretty much you know, trying to build a project with in 2012-13 with dollars from 2002 is pretty tough to do, no matter how good of a allocation
you
have.
So no surprise with this.
No surprise. No, no surprise. But on the other hand, have people been planning, you know, to fill that gap or the void?
Yeah. Has anybody been paying attention?
Yeah. You know, unfortunately, probably not. So the reality will be, what do we do? Do we redesign? Do we cut back an element of it? Can we save some money somehow? I don't know. I mean, there may be some options. Or can we find some additional funding? Hopefully we can find additional funding and build it. It's not the full-blown four-lane freeway that was originally called for, but that's still inconsequential. The costs of projects have gone up over a period of time, and so it's going to be interesting to see how the bid. Now, admittedly, contractors are hungrier, quote-unquote, but their costs are going up, their material costs, their labor costs, their insurance costs, their blah, 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 blah. So it'll be interesting. Maybe it won't be as far off as we think. Maybe it'll only be $30 or $40 million off instead of $100 million off or something like that.
With that as a backdrop, knowing the condition of the state budget,
mm-hmm.
one to ten scale, likelihood this will start construction this coming calendar or this current calendar year?
Even the best case scenario, it barely would get started this year. It's probably a 2013 start date, because until you award and check out the bids and the insurance and all that, and then get the mobilization and the crew ready and get them up here if they're coming from out of the area, probably not till next spring of 13. And in the best of cases, and in worst case, if they don't have if they round up some more money, etc., could delay it another period of time. So it's a ways off, and it's a 5 year plus or minus at least 5 year construction, is my understanding.
Yeah, but nobody's saying the state of California's budget's going to be any stronger in 3 or 4 years than what it is currently.
Well, I hope it will be, but, you know, there's always that. It's going to be, you know, recovering. But there was good news the other day, very good news on that front, Brian. There was some talk about restoring the state's credit rating. I read that the other day. S&P might bring back their credit rating.
Who slipped who, a Mickey?
I was surprised to see that myself, but it looked like there was an opening. Now, that's not a foregone conclusion, but that would help the state a lot because their cost of borrowing funds would be reduced. Because right now they're paying a lot more than they're happy about paying for debt.
Is this a high enough priority to shift funds from elsewhere to get it done?
We think it is in our region. Our question is, can we convince the State Transportation Commission to allocate funds from another project? Now, there is a possibility of recapture of funds from a project that didn't go forward. That's one source. However, those are few and far between. The other source would be, as you point out, a reallocation or a shift from another project that's not as high a priority. That's tough to get.
KINS, News and Information Times 422. We'll be back with more from Harney Herskovic.
Caltrans.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money, you won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 426. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Arnie Herskovic. Arnie, highways in the area last Wednesday, day before yesterday, we had discussion about the Broadway corridor and the couplet. And I don't know if you caught the show or not. But
no, I didn't.
It really, I think, pointed out or exemplified how difficult it is to get road flexibility. If you're not anticipating it and you blink and you're pretty much locked into where you are, so then you start getting all the alternative choices, which obviously are going to be more expensive and more expensive and more expensive. As you look at, I guess it would just be traffic flows in and around our area. is there anything that just leaps out at you and goes, you know, that one's going to handle it? Or here's an option to be able to get, say, cutting through Eureka. Let's say Arcata to be able to move around easier in delivery trucks. Or, do you see any of that stuff that's out there, or is that low-hanging fruit already been picked?
Not easy. And unfortunately, you know, the Caltrans people are doing some proactive stuff lately. They're out there talking about Highway 255, Eureka couplet, also the corridor between Eureka and Arcata. That one, I think, is very important, the safety corridor. That needs to be addressed fairly soon, and they're working on that. They're hoping.
Is that more critical than moving traffic through Eureka?
Traffic's moving through Eureka fairly okay. If we could ever have...
Is that a technical phrase?
Technical, probably.
Fairly okay?
Well, it's not... Well, let's put it this way. You know, if you talk to a traffic engineer, the Broadway is a level F. I mean, that's not good. But that's because of volume and capacity. The problem, of course, is long, as you know, is truck traffic. If we could have ever routed the truck traffic out of our corridor, that would have improved things.
Truck as in commercial traffic, or truck as in from South Eureka moving points north of Eureka?
Well, moving points north. I mean, through traffic is the problem, and truck noise and truck traffic and vibration and all that. And, you know, we get a lot of both local deliveries as well as trucks moving through here. And so that's a problem. As far as traffic flow, it's okay. It's not great. But on the other hand, we don't have a bypass project in our future. We don't have the money's not there. The will to do that's not there. And it's over 30 years since the Eureka Freeway project was even discussed. So really, what can we do locally to help out? You know, some communities have been totally bypassed. Cloverdale is a good example, and yet their town's doing fine. They took it back. They fixed the local roads. They put in improvements in the community, and it worked.
They had viable economic development.
They had pretty viable economic development. Yeah, they got some new businesses there. They Del Webb came in and put in a retirement housing development. That worked great for them. So, you know, there's options, but traffic, there's plenty of room for improvements around here. When you look around, I mean, there's a number
need.
Of them.
Is there the ability?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know that the state has. They recognize the need, obviously. They know the corridor is a problem. They know that 255 is a problem. They know that Highway 3 Eureka is not.
Yeah, I'm sure the meetings last night and the night before.
These are all, it's a foregone conclusion. Everybody concurs with that. No one disagrees. The need is great. The question is, how do you meet those needs? How do you do anything about it? And the problem is, with our budget, as we just mentioned, the budget is not going to be resolved. A couple more years till that gets back looking anywhere decent at all. How do you address these projects? So you put them in a medium term horizon time frame for them. Caltrans works in very long term horizons. So
could it be something as simple for the domestic activity or surface, I guess, in Eureka? Domestic, yeah, right. You got a lot of those international drivers coming through. Of changing two ways to one way so that while the traffic totals aren't going to reduce, the traffic flow at least can get from A to B smoother, easier, with less challenge?
I'm noticing just the flow on 6th Street, for example, is better. You know, when you use that in lieu of 5th Street and coming through town, 5th is pretty heavy. 6th is a good alternative for locals who would, you know, use it. And a lot of through people don't know about 6th Street or Waterfront Drive, for that matter. That's another little piece that could help things out. But we don't see that happening anytime too easily either. But there are some ways, you know, to decongest the community. Now, we talked about decongestion projects. Caltrans has that on their list of, on their planning horizon. But I think that's what you're looking at here, is a decongestion, traffic decongestion project for either Greater Eureka, Eureka Arcata Corridor, and maybe some funding, hopefully from the State Transportation Commission, maybe from federal dollars or something else, maybe one of these other new initiatives that comes along soon.
KINS, News and Information Times, 431.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lampus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
He's smart now.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Times, 4:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Arnie Herskovic. Arnie, one of the things that I think a lot of us are waiting for is we talk about development or the opportunity for development. We've got the more of the infrastructure elements, building blocks are in place, but we still have the choke through Richardson's Grove. What are you hearing about that? Is it progressing at all? Are the courts just going to tie it up and the anti-grow people just win?
Well, Brian, as you know, there's an upcoming court date. I don't know if it's been firmed up yet in the next couple months. So that's unfortunately, once you get in the legal arena, very difficult to predict how long that's going to take. That could take a long time. This is just the very first hearing. And from there, depending on which side doesn't like the outcome, there's always an appeal process and yada yada. So that's going to take a while. I don't see it happening too speedily. So that, as far as getting, the improvements for truck traffic north or safety improvements through that point, doesn't look promising for any time soon.
299 is not really a viable option, is it?
Well, there are some enhancement improvements.
With the current configuration.
Yeah, I mean, there's some enhancement improvements proposed in the long term for 299, but those are, incremental improvements. Coming down Buckhorn, more straightening.
Yeah, you got the switchback on the one side, and then on the other side, you've got that really scary big turn by where the Chinese mining area.
Yeah, there's talk of some improvements over time, but this could take many years also. This is a very long-term perspective. 299, we'll get better.
Wasn't there money thrown at 299 or committed by the state and Fed when Neely and Thompson had their gatherings and they had
they did some straightening.
Stay them and the other guys all involved?
Yes, they did some Buckhorn improvements coming down, back toward Reading. They did a little bit of 2 miles worth of improvements to the curves.
Oh, the thing leading up to
But that's about it so
that
far.
That was it?
That was it. So there's
I thought there was
there's
significant
money. Well, you need significant money. You're looking at hundreds of millions of dollars to really address 299 issues throughout, not just there, but in other portions of 299. It's a good all-weather road, but it's still slow. You got a lot of, points which are difficult to traverse. And truck traffic takes trucks a lot longer to go through 299 than cars. That's just the nature that they have to slow down in those curves. And although we had an accident here in 101 just yesterday, a truck turned over, Safeway truck. So it can happen anywhere. You don't have to be on a curve necessarily.
It was amazing to me how long it took those guys to clean that up.
It does take a while, doesn't it?
Did this time.
Well, you got to be fortunate. Thank goodness it's just food products, not haz material, where you have to sit there and close the whole highway for the whole day.
Might have been quicker.
Well, I don't know. If our crews are up to it, maybe. you got to think, luckily no one was hurt and no one else. So that's the fortuitous thing about it. But, fixing major highways and getting the money to improve 299 and 101, still high priorities. I'm sure Caltrans is still trying to find other, and they're doing a pretty good job on 101. They have
The Richardson's Grove thing isn't particularly an expensive solution, is it?
No, not particularly expensive. It's not the money. I think in this case, it's just making sure that everybody's on board and is satisfied that it can be done without any, quote, damage to the environment.
Well, they were there at one point.
Well, close to it. But now it seems to have gone the other way. It's going to be interesting to see how that winds up. But ultimately, anybody can tell it's not going to be resolved in one hearing or one process.
What's the current status with the Hartsook Inn?
Nothing much that I'm aware of. I mean, the Friends of the Redwood Litany League bought the property, probably doesn't have the resources to operate or maintain it too well because they haven't made any improvements to it. It'd be nice to have it improved because it could be used certainly in some capacity. It's got a capability. It's a nice location.
Well, particularly is the flat right south of it has now been built up a little bit, and there's a little commerce. And
that's right.
There's...
Could be a nice.
Is that the only one inside of a state park in Humboldt County?
Could be
where there's lodging inside.
There used to be up north too, and they closed that one.
Yeah, the hostelry.
The hostelry there,
at Hunter Creek.
It'd make a nice little, resort conference facility type thing, small scale. It'd make a very nice one. But somebody has to invest in improving the infrastructure and the buildings and bringing. It's been vacant for several years now.
Well, we know what that's about.
Well, yeah. I mean, it'd be nice to see it back. Yeah, and clearly you're right. There have been other improvements nearby. It's not a good investment, you know, just to buy something to protect it with nothing going on in the future.
And what have you heard about the state with the state parks setting or having something in play where the local community can kind of not adopt the park but actually run?
Or do the maintenance?
Yeah.
I've heard some rumblings about that. I'm wondering about the state and their willingness to allow that to occur because of their risk liability issues. But if they can find a way to do that with maybe some kind of disclaimers, that would be great, because then local communities could, citizenry, much like we do when we have a Saturday workshop, we come down and clean up a neighborhood park. They could go down and do maintenance and adopt the park, so to speak, and do something. That would be great, because the state, if they don't have the people to do it, you know, it's going to lose its favor anyway. And if it's not available, unless they can't provide that, they will, then of course it may not be open anymore.
So there is something percolating.
I heard something percolating about that. It'd be wonderful if that could happen. I think that's actually a great way to keep some of our parks open.
KINS, News and Information Time, is 4:40. Stay tuned. We got something really cool coming up when we return.
Anyway.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 4:44. We're back talking shop this afternoon with Arnie Herskovic. Arnie, sometimes I think we tend to overlook, probably because it's uncomfortable, certain things. You know, you drive through Old Town now, there's a lot of empties. Mm-hmm. You drive on 4th and 5th or Broadway, 101 North and South in Eureka, a lot of empties. But I think the ones that really don't get the attention are the ones that have been empty for a long time, and we just don't pay attention. A lot of people don't even remember when they were busy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Is there much interest in those kinds of locations?
There are. Oh, as a matter of fact, there is. KVIQ Studios, funny you should mention that, sitting there vacant now for many years. All of a sudden, we have a motel development project proposed right across from our offices where SHN is located on Wabash. City has designed, my understanding is design review board has already met and reviewed the plans and has approved them. Now it'll be going into final design and getting ready for construction probably later this year, which is a brand new Holiday Inn three-story property. And I presume that the KVIQ studio will be significantly removed and redeveloped. So this is really, you know, as you point out, there are properties. I talked to some of the commercial lessee components in our community, and they tell me that, yeah, things are starting to get leased up again, even though there is still a higher level of vacancy than we've seen over the years. But there are people moving. This is the time of year they tend to move.
Relocating within the community or coming into the community?
Mostly relocating in the community, but some new people coming into the community. So that's good, too. New businesses trying to start. And, of course, we have a number of agencies here that can help them, the Small Business Center, then the REDEC, and the various different banks and agencies with, you know, SBA loans. So we have the ability to assist people, you know, in placing them, getting their business up and running and working with them. So it's just a matter of their willingness and their having a good idea and bringing it forward. And we're seeing more of that, which is it's an encouraging sign.
What are you hearing about Bayshore Mall?
About the Walmart project?
No, about
the mall itself?
Occupying the empty slots, yeah.
See,
I'm still in mourning for the bookstore, so.
Me too. But absolutely. Borders, yeah. No, absolutely, yeah. I haven't heard a whole heck of a lot. I know that they're marketing it very strongly. They're out there looking pretty hard for new tenants. I haven't heard exactly how many they've.
Are they reducing the rents down so that it can be occupied by locals, or are they looking to get outside new brands or established brands to relocate?
You know, I can't say I know the answer to that one, but my hunch would be they're probably not lowering rents too much. They may offer some other incentives, maybe a lesser rate on their marketing cost. But typically, they don't tend to lower rates, so that means they pretty much exclude locals. They keep bringing in mostly outside players.
How can the out-of-market guys justify?
I don't know the answer to that either.
Particularly if it's an outpost.
Yeah. Well, it's sometimes if they're between locations. In other words, if they have something maybe in Santa Rosa and something in Oregon, then this
so
is a good spot.
So if they're driving by.
This is a good location. Maybe their trucks are coming through here already on the way to Medford, for example. That makes sense to come here. Trader Joe's should come here. They're in Redding. They're in Medford. They're in Santa Rosa. Their trucks make that loop every week. They come right through here.
So why wouldn't they already have been here?
They should be here, is my opinion.
Well, I understand, and it sounds like I'm talking to a customer.
Yeah.
However.
You're talking to a very happy customer among many people in the community.
So why not? Whether it's in a mall setting or a freestanding, why not?
Well, that's a good question. I know people in the community have talked to them. They're based in Los Angeles. Their decision, of course, each year is to grow so many of their stores a year, and you have to compete for it practically. So it's not that easy to get one here. But it would make sense, eminent sense to me, to situate a store somewhere in our region.
So is this, they're not recognizing the buying that's going on here, or is this some of the established already here keeping them out?
I don't think it's anybody keeping them out. I think the demographics have changed, too. The economics are such that we probably look better now than we had a few years back when they first looked at us. So I have a feeling we're closer to what they're looking for, maybe, in terms of numbers and in terms of economic buying power in the community. So anyway, that would be an interesting one to have here, though. It certainly would be a good land. But I think it could be integrated in the community along with the other stores we have.
I got a question for you.
Okay.
What do you do with an old Jack in the Box?
Another restaurant of some sort. Look at Burger Time was there before, which was a local franchise.
Right.
They did great. They were there for many years. Roger
but
retired.
They were also there before the traffic
mm-hmm.
was as much as it was now. Is there space for something like that in that location, or does it have to kind of reorient for the traffic flow and bring it in through the stoplights?
I think you can get off the highway easily enough there with a turning pocket, so I don't think it's a problem of access issue. It's a matter of redesign, reuse of the building. But it could be reconfigured into kind of restaurant.
That's really prime time real estate.
Absolutely, absolutely. No question about it. And it's from our standpoint, being working and living right around the corner, we would definitely patronize it. Burger Time was our number one favorite restaurant back in the day for a number of our employees.
We'll see if Togo's or somebody
right.
like that.
Oh, yeah, and you think about it, Caltrans is right up the street, too, with 450 employees. So there's plenty of people to support in that neighborhood.
Thanks for coming by.
Always a pleasure. Togo's, there you go.
Trolling for food, that's our game. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug somebody you love. See you tomorrow morning.